من السجل of Menuchas HaNefesh. And in order to come to the Pnimius, because only if we come to the Pnimius can we really begin to apply very practical and simple steps can then be taken to be able to really help us with our Menuchas HaNefesh. But we have to dig deep. And we're talking about Golus for Pesach. To understand Geula, to understand redemption, you have to understand Golus. And we were talking about the most difficult Bechina, the most difficult aspect of Golus. You recall a few weeks ago, I mentioned from the Sar Shalom from Belz, Golus of the Jewish people among the nations, Golus of Jews amongst themselves, but the worst of all is the Golus of a Jew within himself. And we're in that sugi. Of Shuvi Nafshi Lenucha, Shuvi Nafshi. I can't achieve Menucha, I can't be a person of Menucha and of Simcha if I'm not in a state of Shuvi Nafshi. That is the shayrish, the root of the chisaron, of that deficiency in our lives, missing that nakuda of Menuchas HaNefesh. The shayrish of that is Golus. And therefore, it's possible for a person to build an entire life, a pleasant life, a life that's filled with, even with Torah mitzvahs. And yet that doesn't guarantee that that person who has a life that's filled with nice things and nice people and good Torah learning and mitzvahs, that doesn't ensure that that individual will ever experience true Menuchas HaNefesh as Simchas HaNefesh. Not necessarily. We've never seen Bli Ayin Hara as much Torah learning as in our generation. And never has there been such a lack of Menuchas HaNefesh and Yishuv HaDa'as. And to simply blame everything on technology and pressure and so on, it's a coward's way out of the entire question of what's missing in our lives. And how come we can't achieve Menuchas HaNefesh? So listen carefully to the words of the great Mashgiach who was Nifta just a few years ago. Some of you might have been zeichet to see him. I was zeichet to see him. We're going to be learning a lot soon from his sefer, Reb Shlomo Volbe, zeichet tzadik v'kadosh levracha, the author of the famous sefer Alei Shor. This sentence that I'm going to quote, he was not found in any of his svarim. He was part of a hesped, of a eulogy that he gave for an Adam Gadol who passed away. It's one sentence, listen carefully, because it's the basis of the entire discussion. Kach chunachnu b'mir. This is how we were taught. This is how we were educated in the Mir Yeshiva. In Europe, he was in the Mir Yeshiva. He wasn't born there, but he went to learn in the Mir Yeshiva. Kishadon nichnas lo'ilam shel Torah. When a person is trying to enter into the world of Torah, that's all of us. Kishadam nichnas la'ilam shel Torah, when a person wants to enter into the world of Torah, who chayev kadam lamaisa livnais bekirbay olam pnimi prati, he must first build within himself an olam pnimi prati, a inner and private world. An olam pnimi prati, an inward. An olam pnimi prati, an inner, private world. She'ish eina yedeya alav. Nobody in the world knows about. Ish eina yedeya alav. He's not talking about an alter ego. Or like, you know, that you, you know, once it's Shabbos, you become Superman or something. You go to a phone booth and you rip off your shirt and you fly out into the world to rescue, you know, innocent people. Na'oila plini yiprati sha'ish eina yadeilav. Hapina hachavuya hazu. This hidden corner of life. Listen how delicious the words are. It's poetic. Hapina hachavuya hazu. This hidden little corner that a person must have. He, simoloi shachamechochem amiti. This is the sign or the trademark of a true Talmud Chacham. To become a great person, man or woman. The Mashgiach is saying that unless a person has a pina chavuya, a hidden corner, an oilam pnimi prati, an inner, hidden and private world of who you are, be'emes, you can't become a true Talmud Chacham. You remember we were talking a couple of weeks ago about the person who's at the chasna, you remember? And everybody's having a blast, eating and drinking and dancing and singing, and he's at the same chasna, but he doesn't feel anything, you remember? You remember why? Because he's a waiter of the chasna. He's an outsider. He's not from the inner circle. What the Mashgiach is talking about, the hidden corner that you have, that is the ani, that is the I, a true and real awareness of who you are. And that ani, that I, is something which nobody else in the world can truly understand. It's upon that pina chavuya, that little hidden corner of one's life, that a person can build himself into a bentire, into a bastire, into a father, a mother, a husband, a wife. From that pina chavuya, a person is taka able to take off, to become a superman or a superwoman, and to fly, you know, to, what was, I don't remember, the nusach, tall buildings in a single bound or something, I don't know. I remember it was Channel 11, and I remember that whenever they would shoot bullets at him, they never shot at his head. I was always upset about that. They always shot at the S, the Superman. I used to think, shoot at his eyes, maybe it'll be pike him a little bit something. Able to leave tall buildings in a single bound, that was it. Able to leave tall buildings in a single bound. I mean, that's the over 35-40 club. Able to leave tall buildings in a single bound, a Yid who has a pina chavuya, a Jew who has a hidden corner of the self. An oilam pnimi prati. And I have to say this, we have to talk about it clear and simple. An oilam pnimi prati, a private inner world, that person is able to take off. And if a person is missing that pina chavuya, that hidden corner, he could learn Torah, but it's someone else's Torah. He could daven, but it's someone else that's telling him to daven. He could be a husband, but it's somebody that told him how to be a husband, or to act like a husband, and a father, and so on. He could accomplish a great deal. Could be a huge lamdan. Could know a lot, have tremendous amount of information. But he'll never ever have menucha and simcha amitis. True menucha sanefesh. True simcha sanefesh. He'll never have, because all that he's accomplished is not his own. It's not his own, it's somebody else's. It's for Yenim. It's to make his parents happy. It's to make his wife happy. It's to make his kids happy. It's not him. It's not who he is. his mitzvahs are mitzvahs, other people's mitzvahs. He'll get rewarded for them in the next world. We get rewarded for everything good that we do. His chalomos, his dreams, are not even his own dreams. There's a very, very perverted and sick Jewish comedian. I wouldn't mention his name in a Mokum Kodesh. Unfortunately, when we were growing up, it was part of our overall New York Jewish experience. He said a lot of very smart things. It was a maneuver, but he said a lot of very smart things. So one time he was describing the horrible situation of what happened. He said he once fell off a tall building. And you know, they say that when a person is in such a matzav, his entire life flashes in front of his eyes. So he described in great detail how he saw, as he was falling, he saw grandma, like, you know, on the porch, and grandpa by the barbecue, and he was describing like all different things that his whole, you know, life was flashing in front of his eyes. And he said, you know, in a short time before I hit the pavement, I realized those are not my grandparents. And I realized it wasn't my life at all. We didn't have a barbecue in my backyard. He said, I'm so worthless that they didn't even flash my life in front of my eyes. Because they figured, like, it's nothing to show, so they flash somebody else's life in front of my eyes. A person can live for 120, and he leaves the world, and they flash somebody else's life in front of his eyes. It's somebody else's life that they're showing. And it looks nice. It looks nice. There's a lot of kiddushin, and there's a lot of brachas, and there's a lot of shuckling, and there's a lot of dancing, and all kinds of good scenes. It's an andere Mensch. It's not mine. It's somebody else's life. It wasn't built upon that pina chavuya, that hidden corner of that's pnimi and proti, she'ish and yedem is that the Mashgiach, the Ravalbi, was talking about. In the writings of one of the greatest, greatest, greatest minds of the last 100 years, who was also zeichet to see, some of you here was zeichet to meet, Rav Hutner zeichet zeichet levorach, the Pachin Yitzchak. Dimyon ha'odem zayef uma, you can't say this right in English, listen. Dimyon ha'odem, a person's imagination. Dimyon ha'odem zayef, the imagination of a person, Rav Hutner says, is capable of forging. Ziyuf, lezayef, means to forge. Dimyon ha'odem zayef umamed es haskomas habriyas. The imagination of a person engages in the most horrible forgery of all. What's the forgery? It's mamed es haskomas habriyas, that a person's imagination tells him to live a life based upon what other people approve of. What other people approve of. Haskomas habriyas, bimkoim etzem hargoshes hachshivas. Instead of really achieving chashivas, greatness and importance, and instead of really coming to terms on your own of what does it mean to be a great person? What does it mean to be a chosh of a person? This is zeif. There's a horrible forgery that's taking place. V'haziyuf hazeh mutzlach kol kach. The forgery is so good. It looks so good, the forgery. Ad she'iyev shalodim l'kayim ba'atzmai es tchushas ha'chashivas, to the point that a person can never ever experience his own personal chashivas. Im lo timse yodol ha'chiyach zois, Maskamas agrees. Unless he finds some way to get other people to take note and to approve of what he's doing. He can't feel any chashivas. He has no inner life. He has no pina chavuya. He doesn't have that hidden corner of the ani haprati. Therefore, what he is mezayef, what he's counterfeiting, is a life that other people approve of, and he is posing as being the owner of that life. Because this is me, this is who I am, but it's never really who you are. It's only the person that you want other people to think that you are. The whole thing's a zeif. 120 years, a zeif, a counterfeit. A counterfeit. How many times people have said, they say, why don't you go to see that tzaddik? He's a great tzaddik. I'm afraid that he's going to see who I am. What does that mean? So then, he'll know, and the Rishon will know, and you'll know. The Torah says it's not true. The tzaddik will know, and the Rishon will know. But he doesn't want to know. He doesn't want to know. That's what he's afraid. He doesn't want to know. A person, therefore, especially in our times, this is something to talk about for years, this Indian, this Nakuda, that a person is constantly seeking truths. They use the word now to validate. It's become a word that's gotten out of control. Validate his existence by proving that he has chashivas to somebody else. Those who are not in his inner world, who are not inside of who he is, are the basis for determining whether or not he's chashiv, whether or not he's a successful person. And I'm not talking about narishkeit like gashmius, as though people do that day and night. Day and night. I told you the nice of this. Someone told me that there was in ballpark, somebody was putting up like, you know how they squeeze in between. Somebody's putting on like something that was going up like Migdal Bavel. You know, because you don't have any room. So they were making like a house, but such an elaborate, unbelievable house. And there was an Alta Yid that would go, sometimes, you know, a person, he's not working, he has nothing to do, so he'd come back from shul, and he would stand there for an hour or two watching. You know, it's a certain type of a Yid. He'd stand there watching on the street. And the owner would get a little bit nervous, because the Yid is always watching. And he was getting nervous, the owner, but he didn't say anything, he should have said. Except what happened is that one day, the Alta Yid, somebody told me it was a Maisa Shahai. The Alta Yid started to tell the guy, the construction people, no, that's not good, do this. He started to give instructions. He had different tastes from the Balabas. So then the guy in the construction said to the owner, look, I don't care that the guy's watching, but you know, he's going to tell us what to do. He didn't like the window in this place, he wanted something different. So now the Balabas goes over to the Yid and he says, Yid, I don't mind you can stand here because all day. But, you know, it's my house. So the Yid said to him, the whole thing that you're making, the way I understand it, is to impress the people on the street. I'm one of the people that live on the street. So I feel that I should have a say in how it looks. It's for me, no? So he said to him, a Muslim, he said to him, Gashmius, the craziness, I'm not even talking about that, because that's for lunatics, for crazy people, to build things and spend money for other people to see, chasness for other people to see, for other people, for yenim, all kinds of people to see. That where was there somebody that was somebody that was saying a Devat Torah, a Talmud Chacham was saying that and I just can't remember the second, but he was saying that how everybody he tries to get an honoree for the yeshiva. Oh, Rabbi Per Zolgusonzain was saying at the dinner for the yeshiva. He said he's trying all the time, it's so hard to get somebody that will accept the honoree, you know, for the yeshiva. You know, the Rosh Yeshiva have to go begging and talking to people to get to accept to be an honoree to help the yeshiva. And he says one of the most common excuses that he gets is that people, the man will tell him, I really don't want an ayin hara. So Rabbi Per says, To drive a car that's a block long, and to have a house that you're not worried about night. The only thing that you're nervous about night horror is that you should be honored by the yeshiva. Right? When a person is listening, he's always tuned in to how other people are looking at him. and he becomes deaf to who he really is and how he sees himself. That is the matzav that the Navi Yechezkel says in two words, Va'ani Bagola. Va'ani Bagola. I am in Golos. Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livrach, we've learned that piece many times, says, Va'ani, the I, Bagola. Who I am is in Golos. Makes no difference where you live. Like I said many times, you can live by the Kaisa. You can live right in Yerushalayim. Va'ani, but the I is in a state of Golos. Va'ani Bagayla. There was a Yid, not Stam, it was a Rebbe that went to visit the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. The Beis Yisrael was very, very sharp. He looked through a person very quickly. So there was a Rebbe that went to the Beis Yisrael. He came from Chutz Laaretz and he came to visit the Ger Rebbe in Yerushalayim. And this Rebbe was very upset that the Ger Rebbe didn't recognize who he was. He was cooking. He came there and he had to wait also with a few people, and this bothered him. And he told the Shamas, I'm so and so, and the Shamas tried to push this Rebbe up to the Beis Yisrael. And he was already annoyed. And the Beis Yisrael asked him, who are you? So he said, I've been the Rebbe from wherever. Doesn't say in the sefer. I'm the Rebbe from. I am the Rebbe from whatever this place. The Rebbe. So the Beis Yisrael stopped him and waved his hand. He got very annoyed. He stopped him, and the Beis Yisrael said to him, "This is what it says in the sefer. Im ze atem is askim." And he said to him in Yiddish. He said, "I didn't ask you what you do for a living." That's what he said. "I didn't ask you what you're busy with during the day." Ze ha'esek shalachem. That's what you do. But where's Ainti? I've been asking you, mi atem. Who are you? That's what I asked you. I didn't ask you what you do. I asked you who you are. As long as a person is living his life without that quiet, private corner that the Mashgiach was talking about, it means that he's meshubed to everybody else in the world. It means that his Yiddishkeit is also what he does, but not who he is. It's what he does. What do? You put on film, that's beautiful. And again, you get points for that. What you do, you learn, you get points. Everything a Jew does that's good, he gets points. But the question is it your chasana? Is the Torah your kala? Is this your life, or is somebody else's life flashing in front of your eyes that you read in some biography of Gedolim thing, and that's already a good life? But an ish menucha, a person who has menuchas anefesh and simchas anefesh, that's only when you're living your life. That's only when it's your chasid. Without that, there's no menucha. Bits and pieces of nachas, happy things, good things. But every time is to drag yourself to shul, to drag yourself to a mitzvah, to drag yourself to learn. Every single minute in this yoinus that sometimes the satan wins, sometimes you win, back and forth. And even when you're victorious, you have very little pleasure in the victory. Because the ani, the I, would rather be someplace else. So listen, we're coming now to Pesach. To the Yontiv of Pesach. And everybody knows that Pesach begins before Pesach. Pesach doesn't begin Pesach. Purim, you could say, begins Purim. But Pesach begins before Pesach. We're already starting now, Pesach. The Gemara Pesachim, the Masechta Pesachim, everybody knows, does not begin with the halachas of the Seder, of the matzahs, of the wine. It doesn't even begin, the Masechta doesn't begin with the carbon Pesach. What does the Masechta begin with, Pesach? Begins with which din? Bedikas Chametz. searching for chametz. Or la avosa, baikin es chametz lehani. It begins with the search for chametz. That's how Pesach begins. We're already involved in that. I mean, those who are not going away, those who are going away are thinking about, you know, how to pack and which car and all that, and how to afford that extravagance. But those who are, those few who will remain home, are thinking about chametz. Or la bos ha breaking as a chametz lying there. That search traditionally would begin after Purim. I grew up in a house where it began after the last day of Pesach. It would already, my mother's already nervous. And after you put the Pesach things away, it starts again. My mother's being nervous would start again. Now the Gemara tells us the makor, the source of searching with a candle by Bedikas Chametz. The Gemara brings the pasuk in Tzfania and Navi. V'hoya be'esahi achapes es Yerushalayim b'neiros. The Navi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us v'hoya be'esahi. At that time, Hashem says, I am going to search the streets of Yerushalayim with a candle. Achapes Yerushalayim es Yerushalayim b'neiros. What is the Rebbeinu Shalom looking for in the streets of Yerushalayim? From here the Gemara brings the meaning of looking with a candle, dafka with a candle, to go for Bedikas Chametz. Chapes es Yerushalayim b'neiros. You know, the Mekubalim took this quite literally, even though in Halacha there's room to say that you could use a flashlight, and for certain places it's better to use a flashlight, you're not afraid of burning something. But none of the Mekubalim, none of the Tzaddikim ever did away with a candle. It's just a question of whether you take a flashlight with a candle, but not to do away with a candle. It says, Achapes Yerushalayim b'neiros. It's not just to see. What's the Rebbeinu Shalom looking for? The streets of Yerushalayim. And what does it have to do with the search for chametz that precedes Pesach, leading up to Pesach? The Gemara there concludes with another pasuk. A pasuk from Mishlei. There it says, Ner Hashem Nishmas Od. The candle of God is man's soul. Choyfeis Kol Chadrei Bata. Searching through the inner, hidden places of a person's belly, meaning of the human being. Ner Hashem is Nishmas Od. So God is looking with a candle. He's walking around Yerushalayim. It's the best place in the world, Yerushalayim. He's walking around the streets of Yerushalayim. And he's gazing deep, deep into the Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam, into the soul of each and every one of the inhabitants of the holy city. So the Sfasem is Chusa Gelina. And all the Sfarim HaKadoshim tell us that the place inside of a Jew where Hashem lives is that hidden corner. The place that is pnimi and prati, that inner, personal, private place of the neshama, that is the Yerushalayim that Hashem is searching in. Looking in Yerushalayim, looking for Yerushalayim, in the city of Yerushalayim, looking in to each and every one of the inhabitants and asking the same question that the Gay Rebbe asked the Rebbe that came. So the Rebbe that came was asked, who are you? And the Rebbe answered, Ich bin der Rebbe Fun. So when Hashem Baruch asks us, who are you? We say, I'm the father of. I am the brother of. I'm the owner of. I'm the husband of. I'm the wife of. I do this, I do that. And the Baruch Shalom is going to, the same wave of the Beis Yisrael, it's going to say, I didn't ask you what your Asik is. I didn't ask you your connections and your protexia, your yichas and what you do. I asked you, who are you? Achapes Yerushalayim b'neiros. So Hashem says the Baruch Shalom is looking Where is there a Jew who still has that Nakud HaPnim? Is he still in touch with the inner part, that person who he really is? He's not living that Ziyuf, that forgery that Rav Huttner was talking about, to please others and to pretend for others and to make believe who he is. That is the Nakuda of Yerushalayim inside of a person, as Hashem says. And that is the place, as we spoke about a few months ago, only in that place is Zaysim Nuchasi Adayad. Hashem Baruch says that is the place where the Shekhinah will rest forever. And only when a person can answer the Beis Yisrael's question is he able to feel the sweetness, the joy, and the Menucha of Yerushalayim being built inside of himself. Even if, God forbid, it's still in ruins, and even if the Tmeim, the Yishmaelim, are still sitting on the mount, Chas v'Shalom, but he's able to have the Yerushalayim within himself, and to feel what that means to have Yerushalayim within himself. So how's a person Megala that? We had here today some very, very special Yidden that they're involved with trying to make things better in Eretz Yisrael. And I said to one of them, I said to him, but Shabbos, how are you? It was nice to see you. So he said, Rebbe, we're trying to bring Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. I said, you're trying to bring Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael? I didn't know that someone has to bring Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. I said, we don't have to bring Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. We'd be doing Eretz Yisrael a big favor. We left her alone to bring Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. It's bad enough that we brought so much Irishkeit to Eretz Yisrael that they don't know what to do with all the American stuff that already we sent over there over the past 30 years. That the streets of Geula and Me'er Shalom already sound like the streets of Borough Park. I said, you don't need to bring anything to Eretz Yisrael. You need to open up the covering that's in Eretz Yisrael. If you tell me that, then I have a lot of nachas to hear that. Because there's a shell that's covering the Holy Land. Yerushalayim is under heaps of ruins. And if you can help to reveal Eretz Yisrael to herself, you don't need to bring anything there, it's all there. Achapes Yerushalayim b'neiros. Yerushalayim is busy doing other things, making the world happy, making the United Nations happy, making America happy, making the Yishmaelim happy, but not making themselves happy. Two years ago, Shabbos HaGadol, I spoke about the inyan of searching for Chumash, because the question is, how do we reveal the Yerushalayim within ourselves? How do we reveal that? How do we find that Nekuda Pnimis, that Ani? We'll be talking about this now over the next few months. Very practically. But today, just to start. So it's so interesting. And this is what I was talking about a few years ago, Shabbos HaGadol. It begins with looking for chametz. It doesn't begin with trying to look for anything deep and spiritual and meaningful. That's why the whole search for chametz is not any, it's ausgespielt, right? A lot of people don't like it anymore. The business with chametz, we don't want to bother with it. People don't want to bother with looking for chametz anymore. It became very unpopular. It went the way of Malava Malkas and other things, you know. It went the way of other once very popular Jewish traditional things. Looking for chametz is that's for the people who can't afford not to have chametz. Looking for chametz. The way I was describing my mother, she should live with some of the Swansik, and my mother, the anxiety and the nervousness over chametz. My mother every year asking my father to paint this and paint that. My father says, what kind of painting? I have to paint. There's nothing here, no one comes here. My mother says, paint it. And to scrape the sandpaper and to go with toothpicks along the wall. This is how I grew up. Some of you still remember these things. I can't express in any words the anguish and the pain over the fact that in many circles, more affluent circles, that this is disappearing. And how that's affecting our people. That's not for now. The Yisoid Hadavar is that Hashem revealed to us that the way to get to Yerushalayim inside is by searching for Chametz. getting rid of the chametz. Getting rid of the chametz. So what does that mean? So let's understand, because in order to answer the question of where is that and who is that person inside, what's the hidden corner, it means that there's chametz that's covering it. Chametz is covering. That's the stuff that covers the ani, the chametz. And Hashem is Baruch, because He loves us, gave us especially the whole year, but especially this time of the year, to schwitz, and to work hard to remove the chametz. Everybody knows that the Rebbe Abzushia explained the letters that we have by Tekiah Shofar, the letters by the blowing of the shofar. If you look in the Matzah, he explained each one in Yiddish that it means krechsing, the cross satan, right? It means bending down and cleaning the ovens and scraping the floors. All of the sounds that a Jew makes in the weeks before Pesach, krechsing and breathing hard from working hard, those were the Rebbe Abzushia said, those are the sounds that come through the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Those are the sounds of the shofar. So what is this chametz that's covering up? Rav Kook used to speak about, he had a term called ha-chametz ha-ilami, chametz of the world. This chametz of the world that's covering the world. What is the chametz? A food that is made from the flour of one of the chameshis miyadogim, of one of the five types of one of the five sources of flour that the Torah tells us. When that kemach, when that flour is mixed with water, and it sits too long, right? It sits too long. It's mixed with water, and it sits. It sits to the point, ad shehichmitz. I think in English they call that fermenting, is that the right way to say? Hichmitz. Until it becomes chametzdik. Until it ferments. Until it spoils. It rises, and it's mischametz, ferments. That is the mohus, that is what chametz is. And I explained Shabbos HaGadol a few years ago that in Pnimius, what that means is, and it's hard to explain this, Nakuda. It means that there are certain things in life that you and I started off with. Certain feelings, certain way of looking at things, certain expectations, certain dreams, certain philosophies of life and ideals and principles, certain habits, you know, whatever, how you brush your teeth, how you cut your nails. There are things in life that have been allowed to ferment. They're sitting for a long time. Try this one on for size. I've given this example 1,000 times. Here's one just for example. Why do you scream at your wife and children when you get upset? I always do that. They start to scream at you too. That's how I am. I'm an angry person. How do you know that? Because I'm screaming at people for the last 50 years. Can there be any better proof that I'm a screamer? I'm a screamer. It's my whole life I'm screaming. Why are you so unhappy? I've always been unhappy. Why do you talk during davening? I've always been talking during davening. Except when it's not davening, then I don't talk. But otherwise, I daven, I talk. Why don't you daven a little bit? I always did this. I never daven so much. I daven a little bit. The kids said, there are things that we pick up along the way. Much of this stuff is from the very early years. A lot is from the very, very early years. And you know what? In the beginning, it might have been something that was fine. Might have been something that was fine. Just like the flower, it's in its beginning, it's flour, it is what it is, and it's fine. And it might have been something that a person needed in order to survive and to protect himself and so on. You have people, the most, you have a person that he's in a marriage. He's in a marriage, and he said, how come you don't talk to your wife a little bit? I said, I miss something. I wasn't raised that way. I don't like you. I can't. So that person, oftentimes, when he's young, from the beginning he learned that it's not so good to talk so much. It's better not to express things. Because when he was expressing things, or she was expressing, so something, he's got a mishaberech. If you said what you thought in the house, you got a mishaberech. Yeah, you're an idiot. If you said it, and if you said it in the class, well, you're an idiot. So he learned after a little bit, it's better not to talk so much about these things. And I'll talk about other things. I'm not going to say what I think. I'm not going to say what I think. What I feel. I say what I think, and what I feel, I'm going to get hurt. I tried it, I got hurt. So it's better not to say. So 25, 30 years later, you're looking at this tzaddik and you're saying, but the person now that's waiting to hear from you loves you. She loves you. You could tell her how you feel. You could talk to her about your feelings. She wants to hear your feelings. She'll love you more if you talk to her about that. But you can't. It became chamistik. You understand? That defense mechanism that once was saving his life, protected him when he was a kid, It was a good thing. Amo. It was once good. But over the years, it became chamistik. It fermented. It picked up stuff. And it took the person further and further away from the essence of who he is. Chametz means a distortion. Chametz means something was delayed. It was allowed to sit. And over time, it lost its original character. That's what it means. It lost the ani. It lost the I. It became chametz. And therefore, over time, the person has learned to live with certain things that make him comfortable because they're just familiar to him. You could say to a lady, I don't mean anything personal, how come maybe you should cover here, you're a married woman, it's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Oh no, I'm really married and my friends are not like that, my mother was not like that. That's not an answer, the same thing, try to say that to the Beis Yisrael. The Beis Yisrael would ask you, highly Yiddish attached, how come you don't cover your hair? She'd say, well, I'm not an Orthodox. She said, I didn't ask you what you do. I'm asking you, who are you? What kind of answer is that? Your mother didn't. What does that mean? Did you go through this? Did you, the inner I, did you even look into this? Did you ask yourself what God wants? Did you ask the inner point, the inner truth of who you are? Isn't this the right thing? Isn't this holy? Isn't this the way that our ancestors went and our God wants us to go? I'm not saying it to hurt anybody. Every person is so much chametz everywhere you look. The Baruch Hashem is searching in your shalayim. Why is it that you're so angry about those kind of Jews? And you start to say stuff that you've been saying for the last 30 years, or that you might have heard from your father. You never even thought about it. You can see sometimes people that they're protesting, especially this in Yerushalayim, because there's not much else, you know, that a lot of the Chevra, they don't have, like, there's not much else to do on a Motzei Shabbos. So you have, like, go out there protesting. You say, what are you, they don't even look angry when they're protesting. It's like robots. Like, just, like, screaming or doing stuff. They're not really angry. Because it's somebody else's protest. It's the Zaydah's protest. The Zaydah was angry. He was cooking. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about Shabbos. He doesn't care about Chilul Shabbos. It's a joke. Those minion of guys in the Shagorim that everybody thinks is like every guy like with a beard and pay is, you know, screams Shabbos and throws rocks. It's a minion of Mishagorim, right? Those are people that couldn't care less about Shabbos. They're not in pain. They're not getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to mikveh and to daven v'sikin. They're the hoodlums of thugs. But the Zaydis, they had some kosher with Zaydis. There were Zaydis there that were in pain and were screaming and yelling. Not behind the gun. What? These guys, the kids stand there. You see little kids. You see little kids. 8 years old. Shabbos! What's Shabbos? Go to shul and keep your mouth quiet. And daven. What do you have? Shabbos? We're standing there looking. Maybe you'll see a pretty lady pass by in the car. Shabbos. I'm talking about a minion, not even. Chanach has a shalom in Ireland that does these things. It doesn't mean anything. You're angry. That's like the Satan Rebbe was angry. Like you. You're the same thing like the Satan Rav. When the Satan Rav was screaming, that's like you. No, the Satan Rav loved Jews. And he cried over the state of the Jewish people. And he cried over the Jewish state. And his heart was broken over what he saw was falling apart from the Kedusha that he grew up with. That's what he was crying about. What you're protesting, that's somebody else's protest. Somebody else's, just like it's somebody else's niggun that you're singing at the chasna. And it's somebody else's lavush that you're wearing. You're asking, how could a person wear a certain kind of clothing and do things that are certain consistent with his lavush? The Teretz is, he's not wearing his clothing, it's his grandfather's coat. It's not his coat. What he's doing is what he would like to do, which is not always consistent with his grandfather wore. This is what Chametz is, Rabbi Yisai. That's what Avon was talking about. Mizayev. It's a forgery. Chametz is a forgery. Hamamedes haskomes harviyas b'mkoyim etzem ha'goshes ha'chashivas. You don't ask yourself the question of what would make my life beautiful and meaningful and real. The only question you ask, what do I have to do to make other people think that my life is beautiful? Or what do I have to do to appear to have a certain kind of a life? You never ever answer the basis Yisrael's question of who are you, events, who are you? It's always a terror of somebody from something of what I do and how and this and so on. And that's why this person can't feel menuchas and nefesh. He can't feel true simcha, true menuchas and nefesh. Because even though yesterday's bread, even though the bread yesterday was fresh and was good, but the same bread that was fresh yesterday doesn't taste good today. It's stale. That's chametz. How many of us this second have stale ideals of life? Stale davening, stale marriages, stale learning, stale kimanitzah, stale. Old, fermented over time. So what was once something that was part of growing up and it was just who I was when I was a kid, over the years this has now become a jail. I'm imprisoned now in old feelings and old thoughts and old emotions and so on. I'm now a prisoner of these old things. That's called chametz. So the Rebbeinu Shlom told us, he gave us the yontif to be free, Pesach. He gave us the yontif, which Rav Kook called the springtime of history. Everything was new. Parshas Achodesh, his chadshes, leaving Mitzrayim. And the Rebbeinu Shlom begins all of that with the search for chametz. Bir chametz means the effort that a person makes to leave that jail. And Pesach, you all know, means lefsoach, means to jump. Sometimes you're jumping and you don't even know where you're jumping, but you just want to get out. You want to get out of a chametzdik life. So the person looks for the chametz. He looks for the forgeries. He looks for what's fermented in his life. And he screams out to himself, Kol chamira v'chamira, any chametz, any yeast, any chametz, di'ike v'shusi, that's in my possession. The chamita lo chamita that I see, that I can't see, the ba'ata lo ba'ata that I got rid of, that I didn't get rid of, that I burned, that I didn't burn. The bottle that every ka'afidar, Rabbi Shalom, help me that all of those habits, all of the clippers, all of the forgeries, all of the coverings, help me, Rabbi Shalom, that they should all be like the dust of the earth. That's how we begin Yom Kippur too. Kol nidre. They're sorry, Rabbi Shalom, all the things that are imprisoning me, that are holding me back, all of the oaths that I've taken. What does it mean an oath? What kind of oaths? All of the things that I've vowed over the years. You don't remember taking any vows or oaths. We all have a million vows and oaths. try to change one thing that you have, one habit. You can't. Why can't you? Because you made a vow, you made an oath. Erev Yom Kippur, Leil Yom Kippur, Kol Nidrei Vesar. Pesach lebotel v'hevi afra ka'afra da'ara, to be like the dust of the earth. To change. Even when it comes to a simple thing, when someone tells you stop, don't smoke or don't drink, or not to eat so much, it's not good for you, you don't feel good, it's not healthy for you, just to change your habit of eating. What are we, animals? You can't stop yourself from eating those things. So a person has a million books and a million diets, and they have people that go, and I'm not talking about somebody that has gotcha, but there are people that have, obviously they're in yonim that have physiological and yonim and deep psychological. I'm talking about an otherwise healthy person. He has to take all kinds of pills that are dangerous pills, and then they go to, you know, to sew up his stomach and to do this and to do that. You have to go on the Mordechai Weinberger diet. I told you my father's diet. My father's diet was stop eating so much. That was my father's diet. Because when my sister was growing up, she was becoming conscious of those things like all girls do. And she started with the books and started with the bichur. My father said, you want to lose weight, don't eat so much. You eat too much. Stop eating so much and you'll lose weight. Isn't that an amazing diet? You ever hear such a diet? You can go to the bookstore, and there are 10 walls covered with all kinds of amazing diets. And you know, all the mechabim like drop dead from their diets. Everybody knows that. It's a davar yadua, right? And someone says to you, why don't you try maybe to eat less? What? What kind of diet is that? No, you know why? Because you want to be able to be the same fresher. You don't want to change. My father's diet is telling you, change your habit. You don't have to eat that if just because it smells good or looks good. Just because you always ate that. Now it's not good for you. You don't feel happy about that. You want to fit into that new dress. You want to feel good about yourself. So don't eat that. That sounds crazy. So it's a $1 billion business. $1 billion forgery, a fraud, a lie. I'm not talking about people who are not well. I'm not saying there are people who have been yawning, that obviously I'm not talking about that. But there are regular people who are just struggling with this inyan. A fraud, a lie, a forgery. It's all the same message. It's what America's message is. It's Western culture's message is, you don't have to change. You don't have to change. Because you feel incapable of changing. Because you're so chametzdik. That's why the Eidom doesn't want to look for chametz. Now people could already say, I have already a misery of going to the hotel. That's what could be this next generation. Because I already have boys that have told me that they're 20 years old. They never once made a Pesach. They never saw a Pesach in their lives. They spent every single Pesach in lobbies and whatever. Never once saw a Pesach. Never once bent down to scrub, to clean, schlepping the packages and this and that. I'm not talking about, again, with a car. I'm talking about going to the store and the chutz. Every second of Yisrael is such nachas ruach. You don't have to change anything. You write out a check from the gate and before it, and you go to the hotel. It's a bit of the hametzias of Klal Yisrael. And I can't explain it, because when I talk this way, people get annoyed, they get upset, and I don't like to lose friends. I want to have enough friends. And I know there are exceptions, because the grandparents otherwise can't be part of it. I know, and that's all true, and Eretz Yisrael is an exception. If you can go there, Eretz Yisrael, Zichr, it's good. But I'm talking about, again, not the same amount I'm talking about strange situations with the eating, I'm not talking about strange situations with this either. There are some people that maybe there should be probably 50 to 100 people that need to go to a hotel. In Klal Yisrael, in all of Klal Yisrael, maybe 50 to 100. What's bittul chametz? Kaidim, you have to know that there's chametz. That there's, it's covering. And then you go to the hotel, and everybody that comes back from the hotel telling me, they come back from the hotel say, how did it go? Oh, don't ask. You're right. Don't ask. What was so bad? You have so much Agnes Nefesh, that's a $40,000 Agnes Nefesh for what? No, I have to go every single day, I have to change 10 times, the lady tells me. Because if I get, and the girl, they want to take the collar model there, you understand? They want to take the collar there. So the collar's got to change more than if she'd be in a Shakespeare play. She's got to change like every half hour. She's got to change, or else the shadchanim are going to disapprove. That's called freedom? Is that called freedom? That's called Pesach, that's called redemption. But that's chametz on Pesach. Chametz she'ovra lava Pesach. What other people think of you. You can't even be in your own house. The time of the year, more than any other time when a Jew should be in his own house, in his own quiet little corner, is the time of redemption. And the one time of the year where people feel they have to get away from their own home is Pesach. When this shmooze began with what the Mashgiach was saying is that a person has to have his place, his corner, his metzias, his ani. And to come back from going someplace and saying, I had to be for this person and to look for that person and I had to dress up for this people and for that organization and for this shiur and for that shmooze and for this dinner and for this breakfast. Chametz she'ovra lava Pesach. Bittul chametz. Bittul chametz means, and it's late, another 2 minutes. Bittul chametz, to remove the chametz. To break out of these chains of what other people think. Of the old stuff that I thought of and that I lived that's fermenting and spoiled over the years. It's showing over a bootle. I should have gotten rid of this habit 20 years ago. What am I still thinking the same way? Talking the same way? Davening the same way? Everything's the same. Why? Because that's how I was. To be free from forgery, from chametz, to be a ben chayrin. Over the years, Klal Yisrael has gathered so many things that are not Yushalayim, Dick, you know, that are not from Yushalayim. And that's how Pesach begins, Rabbi Say. And then suddenly an amazing thing happens. Comes to Pesach. And we switch, we're no longer thinking about chametz. Chaz Hashem. Chametz is gone. No more chametz. It's bottled, sold, again, finished. Now we start to think about matzah. We switch from chametz to matzah. It's just that one letter. Ches to hey. It's a little spitzel. Right? The Tanya talks a lot about it. It's not for now. It's a little thing. Chametz matzah. Matzah is the lechem oini. Remember we spoke about the Maral? The bread of freedom. Listen how the Sfasemis says in this sentence. B'chol chag ha-matzahs na'asi ish Yisrael ha-briya chadosha, ki-briya chadosha. On Pesach, on chag ha-matzahs, a person becomes a new human being, a new Jew. K'may shahayi b'tzias Mitzrayim, the way that it was when we left Egypt. K'kotn shenoyda, like a brand new baby. He discovers that inner Nakuda. On Pesach he can come to the point of himself, of when he was a little baby, of who he really is. This Nakuda inside of a Jew is called Lechem Oni, the poor man's bread. She believed, this is the, now he's saying the Maral. She bli his rachavus. It's without anything phony. Remember, the Maral says, just what it is. It doesn't ferment. It doesn't rise. It is what it is. The matzah is not a pretender. The matzah is not a forgery. The matzah is not walking around looking like some kind of an onion roll. You understand? The matzah is what it is. Lechem oini bli his rachavus. Not putting on a show. Not dressing up for dinner. He's in his own house. The matzah. He's comfortable with who he is. The matzah is comfortable with who he is. There's nothing besides him that he needs in order to exist. Ki matzah hi etzem ha'isa. That's what he says. Matzah is the isa. Matzah is the dough itself. Not fermented, not changed. Meaning not phony, not forged. It is what it is. What happens later on, like a chakach, what's chametz? A chakach, mishtanis, mishametz. Oh, the matzah, if the dough is left and it neglected and ignored, then it becomes chametz. It ferments. It becomes. K'maychein kol ish Yisrael yesh boi nekuda. Every Jew has in himself a nekuda, matanim es elokim, a gift from God. You hear this, Hashemus? Everybody's different, every Jew. Who he is a gift from God. Every single Jew, a baby. That's what the basis always is to the Rebbe that came from Chutz Laaretz. I'm not asking you what you do. I'm asking you, who are you? That's what I'm asking you. The basis always asking him about that corner, about his inner life. So we stand up at the Seder, and we say at the beginning of the Seder, Halach Ma'anya. Here is the poor man's bread, the Halach Ma'anya. What does that mean? It means the Seder begins with a person, listen carefully because it's late and I just want to say it in a minute. A person begins with the Seder Halach Ma'anya and with breaking the matzah, the yachad. So he begins Halach Ma'anya and he's saying like this, Rabbi Shlom, I want to admit something to you. It's the night of Pesach. I want to admit to you something. I want to admit to you that the real person who I am, the bigger part of me, is hidden someplace. It's not the person that people see. Just like the bigger part of the matzah you break and you hide it someplace. Afikayman. No one sees it. The children look for it, or the minig, whatever it is. You look for it, the children look for it. That's all of life. Looking for that bigger part, for who you really are. But a person at least is able to be moed and he's able to say, Rabbi Shalom, you see the broken matzah? And you see, I'm showing you, I admit that the bigger part of who I really am, not the stuff that I show other people, that they see, who I really am, it's covered, it's hidden. And as a result of that, Rabbi Hashem, I want to admit to you that I myself am broken. I myself am so lonely. I have no menuchas and nefesh. I have no simchas achai. I have the most wonderful wife. I have the most wonderful kids. I have a wonderful house. I have a wonderful job. I have a good car, and that this is good, and everything is good. But I'm broken. Halach Ma'anya, look at me. I myself am Halach Ma'anya. Kol Dichman, whoever is hungry, Rabbi Shalom, look at me. I'm hungry. Forget about who you're talking to. I'm not talking to anybody because everybody, the doors are closed, the windows are shut. Who listens to me? Who hears me? Whoever is hungry, Rabbi Shalom, ich bin ungerig. I'm hungry. I'm hungry because I'm going through my whole life faking, forging happiness, counterfeit Yiddishkeit, counterfeit husband, counterfeit wife, counterfeit son, counterfeit boy, counterfeit Yid. I'm hungry for happiness. I'm hungry for meaning. I'm hungry for Menuchas HaNefesh. Menuchas Shleima Shat the right simple. Menuchas Shleima. But I'm not giving up. And that's what we say right away. Lashona Habo Hashata Hocha. Right now I'm still a slave. I know I am. And I know that I can't get out of all my old habits and all my old chumas to get to the all the way to that broken piece and find the bigger part. I know. But I'm asking you to help me, Rabbi Shalom. Because I still believe that Hashata Avdi but Lashona Habo B'nei Chayrin, that next year I'm going to be free somehow. Hashata Hocha, right now I'm in Golus, the worst Golus of all, my own personal Golus. Lashon Haba, the Arabi is so, the next year I'll be in Yerushalayim. I'll be in that Nekud of who I am, that's called Yerushalayim. I'll break away from the Dimyon Ha'odim Shem Zayev that Rav Putna was talking about, the imagination, the delusion that forges and counterfeits a life to please other people instead of really myself. And then what happens in the Haggadah? Kan HaBen Shoyel, the child asks. The child asks, and we let the children say Ma'amish Tana, right? The child asks, Kan HaBen Shoyel, Tata Leib, Hulach Kagan, precious father, I want to ask you something. What does it mean? Every single one of us becomes like a child again. Kan HaBen Shoyel means that the Baruch Shalom is saying to each and every one of us, Yingele, ask, be a child again, be curious. Get rid of the chamas. Be who you are. Children are honest. They're real.
keep on asking questions to grow, to learn. Keep on trying to find out. Don't give up to the Chametz, and don't give in to the Chametz. Kan haben shayel. Here we become like children again, Pesach night, and we come to the end of the Seder, and the end of the Seder is the highest madrega. The end of the Seder, we say, Echad miyadeya, Shnayim miyadeya, Shnayim, everybody's falling asleep. Echad miyadeya, who knows one? And we have such a beautiful niggun in our house. My wife brought into the marriage many, many good things. I brought very little. My wife brought a lot of good things. And she brought in this niggun that she has from her grandfather. It's not like the one that's, you know, it's just a beautiful niggun. I can't sing. I'm not going to sing it, Rabin. In our house, the Echad Miyadeya is the highlight of the whole Seder. Echad Miyadeya. Echad Elokeinu v'Shamayim. We start from Aleph Beis. But you thought you're so smart. What do you mean? What about the Rambam and the Ravid? What about the Sfasemis Netanya? What about the Ramchal? What about the Maharal? What about the Rabbi Akiva Eger? What about the Maharshah? What about Tosfos? What about all the years of thinking, of learning, of saying, saying, saying? The highest madrega is to come back to that point of being able to say, Rav Shalom Echad Miyadeya. Rav Shalom, who are you? Shnayim Miyadeya. Echad, who knows one? I know one. Like a little kid. Echad Elokeinu b'Shamayim. Shnayim. Shnei Luchas Abris. What else is there? The Shnei Luchas Abris. Chavgadya, Chavgadya. B'Zaman Abba B'Sei Zuzay. Foros HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Shachal Malach HaMaros. That takes us away, that Malach HaMaros, from the Pina Chavuyah, from that quiet corner. And when a person kisses the Hagadah and sends the children to bed, or carries them up to bed, to carry the children up to bed on Pesach night is itself a very holy thing. They should be zeich, the healthy children. To carry the children and the grandchildren, to carry them to bed, and to be able to come down if the Seder feel that you're on your last kaychus, to give a crest and to open up at the end, and to start to say, Shira Shira Mashal Hashem, Shakeinim Neshikris Pi. That's what it means to be a Jew. It can't be in words, it's only in Shira Shira. We don't have words like that. Shira Shira Shakeinim Neshikris Pi, Ki Tayyim Deidecha Miyayim. I never knew how much I loved you because I wasn't me, and I didn't know who you were. But at the end, a person can say, "Shchayr ani v'naav, yanosi tamosi rayosi, ani l'daydi v'daydi li." Person to have a time of Pesach, taste of Pesach. And the Bashram should help us, each and every one of us, that we should desire him. She desired to find the chametz and to be honest enough to get rid of the chametz, to admit that it's chametz, to stop lying and making believe and playing games and hiding. It's already many, many years. The people here are still very young. And those who are not so young, and Pesach become young. And the Hashem is going to help that each and every one of us should be able to say be'emes, be'emes, and to be be'emes in that place of Ashata Hacha. Here, this year we're here, but the Shana Haba, Ba'arid Yisrael, Ba'gul Hashem, Ba'amitis, Mehem Yemei Omer.